Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Today we're going to talk about a real blessing of a subject. Suffering. Turn to somebody and say, this is going to be good. And painful. Praise the Lord. The blessing of suffering. There is a doctrine of suffering in the Word of God. Now we know, we should know by now, we've been taught it enough, we've seen it in the Word of God, that we're not to suffer at the hands of sickness, disease, poverty, accidents, anything like that. Jesus, the Bible says, he became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Jesus took everything that was a curse to you and I. And it's pretty easy to figure out what a curse is. The same thing that you would call a curse, God calls a curse. Because we see it in Deuteronomy 28. The Lord lists all these terrible curses that are the result of getting separated from him, being in disobedience to him. And all the things he lists there, we would all say amen to, that they are in fact curses. But yet, not all suffering is a curse. There are certain forms of suffering that are a blessing. For one, I think of is persecution. Suffering persecution. The Bible tells us, Jesus says, that we're to rejoice when we suffer shame for his name. In fact, we see that over in the book of Acts. There was a time where the early church was being persecuted. Some of the disciples were being, they were being severely, severely persecuted. And yet, after being beaten and whipped, they left rejoicing. Rejoicing. That they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I mean, when you're suffering for the gospel's sake, when you're suffering as a Christian because you're a believer and you're standing up for the word of God, standing up for the truth, standing up for what is right, you are in good company. You're in the company of God. You're in the company of Jesus. You're in the company of all the early disciples and the prophets of old. You're in good company. So that's something to rejoice about and be glad about. The Bible tells us that you will suffer persecution if you desire to live godly. Those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. So that's one form of persecution that we are not to be ashamed of. Paul the apostle, he was beaten, locked up, thrown in prison, and he wrote to the church to not be ashamed of his chains. He himself wasn't ashamed of it. Here he is in chains. A lot of people, you know, would be ashamed of that condition, but he knew why he was there. He was there for the word of God's sake. And so there was no shame in it. So that's a good form of suffering. How many people know going to the gym and working out involves suffering? And if you do it right, I'm not talking about you tore a muscle. I'm not talking about you pulled something. You knocked something out of joint when you were working out. But how many people know just staying in shape involves some suffering? You decide you're going to start running. You're going to start dieting. Huh? Little suffering involved in that, right? When other people are eating pizza and cake and pie and All these things are out in front of you and you're smelling it and seeing it and your flesh is wanting it. But yet you say, no thank you. No thank you. Because you are restraining yourself, disciplining yourself. So in other words, all suffering is not to be rejected. There is a suffering that we are to embrace. There is a suffering that literally, in some cases, we're to go after. When it comes to work, serving the Lord, and in whatever you do, whatever kind of job you might have in life, you are to be doing it as unto the Lord. You're to be serving Him. So when we go to work, and you might be a housewife, it doesn't matter what you are, whatever your work is, you get up and you're doing it as unto the Lord. And friend, you should be willing to work hard at your job. God believes in hard work. Hard work. Work that may involve suffering in the flesh, being inconvenienced. I remember I went out on a service call back in New York with my brother John when I was home between first and second year of Bible school out in Oklahoma. And we went into a restaurant. We're working there in the kitchen. And there's this guy who every once in a while would stick his head out of the bathroom and then go back in. And after a while, I said, what's up with that guy? He said, he's just trying to get out of work. He's just sitting there hiding from the boss. I thought, man, that seems like more work than if he'd just go out there and do his job. You know? I mean, it's more work. He's sweating, getting caught. You know, he's looking out there, making sure he doesn't get caught, going back in there so he can just lie down in there, I guess, and rest his eyes. But he's really not getting too much rest, it didn't seem like to me. You know, just get out there and work. Work is a good thing. Work is a four-letter word, but it's not a curse. It's not, it doesn't go in the category of curse. A lot of people think it is a curse. A lot of people, I don't want to go. They'll do anything they can to get out of work. They'll do anything they can to just get by with their work. To just do what they have to do. And not do any extra. Not take any pride in their work. Not care about helping other people. They just want to get it done. Just what do I have to tell them what I have to do? But we shouldn't have that attitude. As Christians, we should want to go in there and be fruitful and produce good things. Be a blessing. Be a blessing to our employer. If you're an employer, then be a blessing to your customers. Be a blessing to people. People need what they need, your service. And you have an opportunity to serve. So you want to do it with all your heart, and you want to go out of your way, go the extra mile, and do an excellent job. And doing an excellent job and being excellent at what you do requires hard work. It requires discipline. And that's a good thing. That's a suffering. That's a good thing. We shouldn't always be looking for the easy way out. Looking to just, when can I get off? You know, when can I go and play? I want to just play. You know, it's time to grow up out of that childhood stage. And to begin. Now, we have child church back there, you know, so there are kids back there in children's church and things like that. And, you know, it's good to be a child if you're a child. But if you're an adult, it's time to put away childish things and not only be thinking about playing and having fun, but going out and being fruitful and working hard and being a blessing. This is important. This is what God expects of us. And it's in working hard, it's in suffering in life that we actually improve not only what we're doing, not only the work we're doing, but we're improving our very character. We're helping ourselves in the process. We're making ourselves better, stronger from the inside out. And with God, remember, that's where prosperity begins. It starts on the inside and works its way out. Yes, Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. But being rich starts in your character. It starts in your heart. And the only way you're going to build strong character is that you got to be willing to suffer. We see that over here in Romans. Let's go there. Romans chapter 5. And also in James. Let's go to James chapter 1. Let's do James chapter 1 first. It says in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Count it all joy. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." How many want to live a lack-free life? No lack. No lack. That's God's will for us. He became poor that you might be made rich. He doesn't want you to have any lack. Well, he tells us something right here, how to obtain that kind of life, a lack-free life. He said, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials," when you're going through tough times. He said, because as you're going through it in faith, how do you know you're going through it in faith? You're counting it all joy. You're not focused on the suffering. You're not focused on the problem. You're focused in on the end result. You're focused in on the victory that's on the other side of this thing. And there's a victory on the other side of every trial and test that we face in life. God has a victory on the other side. He's got a victory for you and I on the other side of it. So faith knows that. Faith sees that. It sees what the natural eyes do not see. And it's willing to press through tough times, rejoicing, thanking God, being grateful, not being anxious, not being worried, not being all fretful and fearful, but joyful. Joyful. Because though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's what faith says. For thou art with me. You are with me to comfort me, to help me through this thing. And we will get through it, and we'll come out better than we were before. We will come out more patient. And that patience is going to have a perfecting work on me so that I'm complete, lacking nothing in life. Complete and lacking nothing. Don't that sound good? Yeah, we like that part. See, we like talking about the complete and lacking nothing part. But you see, I just got up here and opened up, and that was my mistake, opening up, letting you know what I was going to be preaching on. Because the moment I opened up on saying we're going to talk about the blessing of suffering, switches turned off. Folks said, "I don't think I want that. I don't think I don't want to hear that." You say, "How do you know people did that?" Because I'm led by the Spirit when I minister, and I can tell by the flow. There's resistance. Why is there resistance? Because we mentioned suffering. And we don't want to suffer. Oh no. We want prosperity. We want perfect. We want complete. We want lacking nothing messages. That's what this is. That's exactly what this is. But this is how we're going to get there. Count it all joy when things are tough. When things are hard. Not cowering down and backing up and being pushed back by it. No, that's the time, glory be to God, we rise up. And we step into it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, determined that no matter what we feel, no matter how hard it is, we're going to get through this thing by the grace of God. We're going to get on the other side of this thing, and we're going to walk in the victory that God has for us. Somebody say, I'm getting through it. But you can't be afraid to suffer. Can't be afraid to suffer. I remember when I had back pain hit me. That's of hell. That's of the devil. That's not of God. That's not a blessing. But faith turned it into a blessing. Turned the whole thing around. And man, that pain had me down. If I just moved to get up, it was like somebody stabbing me in the back. It was terrible pain. And I had opened up my Bible to 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, by whose stripes, talking about Jesus and his wounds, by his wounds, you were healed. And I looked at that. You, talking to me. You, that's Jesus talking to me. You were healed. And man, faith rose up on the inside of me. And I said, if you said I'm healed, then I'm healed. And at that moment, I didn't care what kind of pain, what kind of feeling tried to grip my body. I was getting up. And I wasn't going to be afraid because this thing had me cowering down. For 2 days, I'd get up, go, by his stripes, I'm healed. And I was afraid to move. You know, you're a little afraid to move after that. And so I'm just sitting there, terrified to move. And then the word just hit me. And I knew, bless God, if he said I'm healed, then I'm healed. And I don't care what kind of pain hits me. I am getting up and I'm healed. And I got up. I stopped pampering it, stopped approaching it gingerly. And I got up and that pain left, praise God. Had me down for 2 days, but left me just like that. Never to return again. It's tried to knock on my door a couple times and I've just kicked it shut. Said, no, we don't take back pain. By his stripes, you were healed. But to get through it, I had to be willing to suffer. Suffer that stabbing. Suffer that pain. Suffer whatever the devil would try to throw at me. I couldn't be afraid to suffer some pain in order to walk in the victory that he had for me. We can't be afraid of suffering. We got to begin to confess and declare, suffering is a blessing for me. Because I go through it in faith. And therefore, I get stronger. I become perfected and complete. Where I don't lack anything in life. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only this, but we glory or rejoice in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Now, Peter was the one that wrote what we just read in Peter. Now, this is Paul talking. But you see, they're yielding to the same Holy Spirit. And he's saying the same thing. He's saying, we rejoice. We count it all joy when we fall into tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces, again, perseverance. Patience, endurance, and perseverance, character. Everybody say character. And character produces godly hope. And godly hope is spiritual vision, to be able to see further, to believe for bigger and better. When you're hopeless, you don't see very far. Your spiritual vision is very short. You're short-sighted. You don't see very far. You can't even see how you're going to get out of this thing. People get so hopeless that they feel like their lives are worthless, isn't even worth living anymore. See, they don't see very far. But as we grow in character, our vision grows. The more character you have, the more vision you have. The further you can see, the bigger you can believe, the more excited you can get about your future. You begin to have high and lofty goals for your life. Things to lay hold of, things to attain for the glory of God. And to attain them, it's going to take perseverance. It's going to take endurance. But glory be to God, you've been growing in that. You've been growing in that, and you've been growing in godly character. Why? Because you've been pressing through tribulations and not running from them. Not always looking for the comfy, cozy way out of those hard places in life. There are those hard places in life that if you'll press through it, it will harden you to Satan. It will harden you to sin. It'll make you like a rock. And when you understand that, you will start rejoicing in tribulation. You'll start rejoicing in some of the conditions that you've been in, that your life has been in. Because you recognize, hey, this is an opportunity to grow. This is an opportunity to become battle-hardened towards the devil, towards sin, so that I don't flinch and waver and bow down to the devil or before the devil anymore. I don't bow before him anymore. But I'm strong. I could stand up. I'm like a rock. Hallelujah. We are to be like living stones, rock solid, not emotional basket cases. We're not to be emotional basket cases, up and down, worrying. No, God wants us solid. He wants our lives like a rock so he can build other lives on it, so that other people have a foundation they can build their life on. You're trustworthy. You're a person of character, a person of integrity, a person people can look to and believe in and know that you're going to be there. You're going to do your job. You're going to be on time. You're going to do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. You're a solid, unwavering, principled person, not a mushy mosh. The world is producing mushy moshes. That's what the world is producing. Come and watch this program. Come, come. Play, play, play. And people are getting more and more mushy, softer. And they're lacking character. They're lacking vision. And so people aren't producing very much in life. But not so for the child of God. Not so for us. While the world's getting softer and weaker, you and I are getting stronger. We're firming up, getting tougher. Character is built in the furnace of suffering. Again, I'm not talking about sitting back and being sick and diseased and thinking that somehow you're glorifying God by suffering. Suffering from your allergies. Suffering from whatever kind of pain, your physical pain you're dealing with in your body due to infirmity. That is not glorifying God. Overcoming it glorifies God. Not just sitting there in it, in pain. So that's not who we are. We're reaching forward to those things where are ahead. We're pressing towards what God has for us. That's what Paul was saying over here in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. He says, do you not know, verse 24, that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. See, it's not automatic. It's not all the promises of God are not automatic. They've got to be obtained. They've got to be laid hold of. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. Or my margin says, exercises self-control in all things. In all things. Exercises. Self-control in all things. You know, we need to have nothing that has control over our lives. Nothing. There's not a drink. There's not a food. There's not a hobby. There's not a job. There's not a thing that dominates us and rules over our life. We exercise control over all things. We have self-control. We have control over ourselves. Nothing has to control you. That's really good news. Nothing has to control you. You have to let it control you. But you have to rise up and say, no, I'm not going to let this thing beat me. I will not be a victim. I will not allow this thing to beat me. But I'm going to overcome it. And I'll discipline myself. And I'll bring my body into subjection. I'll do whatever I got to do to gain control over this situation. To get control over some things, it tells you right here, you got to be temperate. In all things, you got to exercise self-control. Well, that's not always warm and fuzzy. He says, now they do it, talking about athletes, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we for an imperishable crown. I mean, you think of the Super Bowl. I mean, these guys work so hard, to go to the Super Bowl. Then finally, a team, they do what it takes. They win, and they suffer. They discipline themselves. They do what they got to do to beat all the other teams to get to the place where they're in the Super Bowl, and then they win the Super Bowl. And now they've won the Super Bowl, and they get the big trophy, and they get all the praise and money and all those things, and it's great. And then come next season, what are we doing? We're trying to win the Super Bowl. It perishes. It's temporary. The rewards that the world has to offer are just little thrills that come for a little while and are no more. And next thing you know, you're back at it again. You're back at it again trying to win the same thing. And if you don't win, you're depressed. Just a year later, you're depressed. Because you didn't go to the Super Bowl. Because the glories of the past, they don't last very long when it's according to the flesh. But you and I aren't working towards things that are perishable, but things that endure and last, not only throughout this life, but into the life which is to come. Throughout all eternity, there'll be rewards to reap from our victories, from the success that we have in life. How much more? If these guys can do what they do for something that perishes and is really just a cheap thrill in the end, how much more should you and I be willing to discipline ourselves, get control of ourselves, so that we can receive eternal rewards? Verse 26, therefore I run thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight. Are you fighting? Not with your spouse. I wasn't talking about that. Somebody say, I fight. I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. See, it's not just a matter of preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel with others. There's so many people, they're great orators, they can articulate the gospel very well. But that really isn't where the reward is. It's in, are we living this gospel? Are we walking in the light of the word of God? Are we walking in the presence of God and laying hold of his promises, laying hold of his truth? Notice what he says over here in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 1, he says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh. Now, we need to stop right there. Somebody suffered for you. Somebody thought you were worth suffering for. Fact of the matter is, Christ cares about you, God cares about you more than you care about you. Because he has suffered for you more than you are ever willing to suffer for yourself. So many times we're not willing to suffer some of the littlest things, and yet we know this isn't good for me. This habit is not good for me. This lifestyle is not good for me. But I just can't. I just can't give it up. I just can't quit. I just can't. Well, first of all, can't is not the truth. It's not about you can't. It's about you won't. You won't. You won't do what it takes. You won't suffer and do what it takes to be free of that, to walk away from that, to not have that thing controlling your life anymore. It's all about your will. It's about what you're really passionate for. What do you really want in life? God wanted you, and he wanted you to be free. God wants you to be fruitful and successful because you are his offspring. You are his children. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he wants to see you thrive in life. He wants to see you succeed in life. God don't want to see his children victims in life. He doesn't want to look and say, yeah, that's my children, all oppressed by the devil. All oppressed and in bondage to all kinds of worldly things, fleshly things. God wanted you free so bad that he became bondage. He became sin. He became poor. He became infirmity and sickness and disease so that you could be free. You were worth, your life was worth suffering and dying for in the mind of God. Your life was worth suffering for and giving everything to help. That's how God views your life. How do you view your life?
I can't. I want to. I really want to, but it's hard. It's hard.
You're not worth it. You're not worth it? Your life isn't worth it?
It's so tough.
I'll just take a passive approach and I'll just go ahead and go this way. Take a passive approach to God. You know, a passive approach to God is an aggressive approach to godliness. Ungodliness is not easy. People have believed that, well, God's way is so hard, but I'm just going to give in to this way, an ungodly way to do things. But the truth of the matter is, the way of the transgressor is hard. And it's actually harder in a lot of ways. But to not be aggressively suffering at pursuing the plan of God for your life is to be aggressively suffering at something else. And there's folks, they're willing to lay their lives down for their various different vices, their various different fleshly things that they feel they can't live without. In other words, they're passionate for it. They're more passionate for those fleshly things than they are for the Lord and the kind of life he has for them. Because the proof of passion is in what we're pursuing. What we're really going after. It's not about just giving into Satan. It's about taking hold of him. Going after him. Over the book of Timothy, talks about believers who have already turned aside to Satan. They have left the Lord and turned aside to the enemy. It's a decision. It's a turning. And man, it's not easy. It's not easy for a believer to sin. It's a lie to think sin is easy. It seems easy because people are passionate for it. And your passion and love for a thing makes your pursuit of that thing easy. Even though it involves serious suffering, because you have such a vision for it, such a vain imagination concerning having this thing, you will suffer easily to obtain it. It almost seems like you're falling into sin. It seems so easy to you. But it's your passion for it that is making it feel so easy for you. And why is it so hard to sacrifice and discipline and suffer in the flesh to resist wrong? Because we don't have much of a passion or vision for our own lives. I don't know about you, but I went to a school where I was taught by the professors, the teachers, that I evolved from sea scum. And my great-great-great-great-grandmother was a monkey. And I'm no better than a giraffe. This is what I was taught. And then you wonder why people grow up and have absolutely no vision for their life. After all, if you're no better than a hyena, why should you work so hard at your life? Why should you sacrifice so much? Why should you suffer so much to rescue yourself? But friend, it's time for us to get our minds renewed and realize God created us with an awesome, awesome purpose. We are eternal beings. We have eternal life. We got a God who is leaning over the banister of heaven, and he's excited about us. We got angels. We got saints of old rooting us on. Our lives are worth something. They're worth the blood of the Son of God. We are valuable. We are worth disciplining ourselves to protect, develop, increase your life. It's worth pushing the pie aside. It's worth getting up early. It's worth it. It's worth getting myself into prayer. It's worth getting myself out there and working hard at what I do. And when you go to work and you work hard, it doesn't matter if your boss even recognizes it or not. It doesn't matter. God recognizes it. And you are developing yourself. You are exercising yourself and growing up your character, making yourself a stronger, better human being. And you're worth making yourself a better human being. You're better than just staying the same. You're better than that. Come on. Thank God for where you're at, but you're better than that. There's so much more for you. So much more for you to be, so much more for you to see, so much more for you to have and walk in life, in this life. Come on. Well, I'd like to, but all these people around me are holding me back. It's funny, I never seen a team that goes to the Super Bowl say, well, we'd like to go to the Super Bowl, but we got all these other teams holding us back. Do they do that? They go into a playoff game and say, all these other teams are standing in our way. It's not fair. It's so hard. No, it's playoff time. It's playoff time. Right? They just stir themselves up that much more, and they hit that much harder. And they endure that much more pain. It's amazing what these guys will do. I mean, they'll do whatever it takes to get back out on the field and fight to win. Because it's worth fighting for. And what they're fighting for is perishable. Well, these people, everybody's standing in my way. No! Those people that you think are standing in your way, they are your invitation to become everything God has called you to be. What made King David great? Somebody say, God did. Yeah, but no, it was Goliath that did. Goliath made David great because it was through cutting off Goliath's head, bless God, that caused David to be able to rise up and to be respected by that whole nation so that eventually he became the king of that nation, which is what God had anointed him for. God had anointed him for it, but he needed a Goliath or two. He needed some giants to get the victory over in order to be able to actually stand in the place that God has for him. We are so anointed. We're so anointed. Thank God for the anointing. I love every time I get hands laid on me. I love every time I have the opportunity to lay hands on other people. And we get a fresh anointing. And we get anointed for great things. And we got that kingly anointing on our life. But if we just go home and eat potato chips and watch TV, we're just going to have a greasy forehead. Just a greasy forehead. You got to find your Goliath. No. I said, you've got to find your Goliath. A lot of folks are hiding, trying to hide from Goliath, finding them. We don't want Goliath to find us. We don't want Goliath to find us. No, that's what the children of Israel were doing. I mean, it was the funniest thing, you know. It says they all come out in their armor and start shouting every morning. They come out, hey, yeah, 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 Jehovah, 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 hey, yeah, 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 yeah. And they come out and they line up at the battle line. Hey, she, Jesus and Jehovah, yeah. It says it right in there. And then Goliath comes out. And he'll go, he shakaya maya sheka luka. And they'll go running and hiding. They'll go running and hiding. And this little shepherd boy comes down there. And he says, where is he? He heard about Goliath. He just heard about him. He's going, what is everybody doing? Why is everybody in the rocks, in the caves, hiding? Have you not seen the champion of the Philistines? He's a giant. Where is he? They're all hiding. David's looking for him. And then when finally David got permission from the king to go out there and fight Goliath, I mean, David's running to him. David's not like walking like this. David's not doing that. David's just all in, man. He is just like, come on, come on, come on. And David's just charging the guy. Why? Because he's anointed for this. God is with me. And if God is for me, if God is for my life, if God would do what he did so that I can have life, so that I can live long and strong, then there ain't no devil that's going to be able to stop me. There ain't no weapon formed against me that's going to prosper. Hallelujah. And he charged right into that battle and took off that Goliath's head. Friend, that's what we're called to do. We're looking for our giants. There's giants out there. We got to find them. Hallelujah. We got to go get them. We got to go in there. Children of Israel had to go in and possess the promised land. They had to go in and take it over. They couldn't stay in the wilderness saying, well, I hope the giants don't come in here after us. No. You got to go in after them and possess the land and drive them out. Amen. There's things to overcome. There's victories to get. And we have to have enough vision in us to realize how precious, how important, how valuable our lives are. It is worth disciplining ourselves. It's worth any kind of suffering to be able to protect and be able to have what God has called us to have in life. Somebody shout, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
Through the blood of Jesus,
I am worth it.
Worth fighting for. Hallelujah. We got to get passionate about it. Stop being passionate for the world and start getting passionate for God's plan for our life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.